Hello and welcome to another episode of Science Chat, the Science Communication Podcast. I'm Sean Marshall. Brendan O'Brien is the Science and E-Learning Officer in the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development in Victoria and convener of 60 Second Science, Science Outreach Competition. Brendan is also Science Chat's first guest from the Southern Hemisphere. And I recently spoke to him and I started off by asking, what exactly is 60 Second Science?
60 Second Science is a fully online video competition for citizens around the world. It's a global competition. It began as a competition for students, but proved to be so popular that we've expanded it. First it became Victoria-wide, then it became Australia-wide, and now it's a global competition, and it's for citizens of any age, Sean.
And who's involved in the site? Is it just yourself or...?
It's sponsored by my employer, the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development in Victoria. And they've been sponsoring it for about 4 years now. And as part of my job, I produce this competition and produce a website and promote it around the world. So it's a sort of unofficial part of my work.
Okay. And have you any other affiliations associated with the site?
Oh, yes. We're affiliated with New Scientist, with the National Science Competition, the National Science Week in Australia. We have a thing called National Science Week in August each year, and every state in Australia is involved in it. And we run all sorts of events for citizens of any age and every age in every state in Australia. And what I do is I register the competition in every state, and we have Australia-wide participation, and consequently, because of that popularity, it's then launched and become global. We are also affiliated with lots of organisations that promote science in Australia and internationally, where, yes, we are do have a relationship with. They're not producing any money, but they're supporting us. And also organisations like the Edinburgh Council of Science. I'm not sure of the name of the organisation there, but on the website we list about a dozen organisations who we are affiliated with, either formally or informally.
And if it's run by the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, is it somehow
Sean, it's run by me, basically.
Okay.
it's a team of one at this stage. And, look, I basically work with a web developer, and he's taught me a lot about how to use Joomla as a web platform, and I purchase bandwidth from a provider, a host organization, and I run it from home on the weekends a lot. I don't spend a lot of time at work running the program.
Okay. Well, I guess what I was getting at was, if it has that involvement or sponsorship from the Department of Education, is it in some way linked to the science curriculum in the schools in Australia then, or is it open to people coming in with any type of scientific idea?
Well, the linkages are through what we call VELS, the Victorian Educational System we run here, which a particular set of standards that covers science, mathematics, English. There's 8 learning areas, the learning standards that we operate here, including citizenship. So this competition directly links to the science standards that are taught here in Victoria. And I've been going over the Australian curriculum, which is coming in over the next 2 years, where we're going to unify the science curriculum across the whole of Australia. And what we're doing here in the 60 Second Science Competition links directly to a number of the outcomes as described in the Australian curriculum. So it's firmly linked to the curriculum, Sean. But what we're excited about is that it goes beyond schools and into the areas of citizen science. We're very excited that we can engage citizens of any age in any country to get them to describe the world as they see it, and then we run that up against an international panel of judges.
How important do you think it is to have science sites or events like this that give the non-science communication professionals, and especially students or children, the chance to get involved in science in this way?
Oh, don't get me started, Sean. any trip into Google and you'll see that the internet and even mainstream media is overwhelmed by a lot of hocus pocus and magic and fairy thinking, and we're hoping that by having a whole range of citizen science projects running worldwide that we will bring more people into a rational understanding of the way the world works. We're really keen to develop critical thinking in people of any age, but especially students, and that's a key part of our curriculum. We want the kids to look at the world in a very critical way and not just accept anything that they see on an internet page or anything they read in the newspapers or see in television. We want them to have the tools to disassemble anything they see and pull it back to its rational and logical and scientific understanding. And building up that base of understanding goes beyond the classroom. We have to reach out into social media, into the internet, into mainstream media. So there's a lot of people working all over, and 60 Second Science is just a tiny part of that worldwide project.
Do you think it's maybe unfortunate that that events or sites like these tend to be done by individuals who, okay, may be affiliated to certain organizations, but there's no real, it seems to me, you know, from talking to some other people who do sites like these, that these sites are somebody's idea, and sometimes they get picked up by organizations that are affiliated to the government or something like that. But to me, it seems to be a bit of a problem that it isn't coming the other way, that it isn't, even in countries where they have good STEM programs, that there isn't some government organization which says, this is the way we need to start to engage people in science, because we have kids from the ages of 13 or 14 now who are going online, who are Googling things, who are checking things out, who are reading things on the internet, and they don't know what kind of what accreditation goes behind what they're reading. So wouldn't it be better if we had the governments who inform the schools to say that this is the way we have to do science now, not sitting in a classroom, or not just sitting in a classroom with a book, but we need to start developing sites like these and start to target the people in the way that they are using the media that they are using?
Look, I think you and I could share a soapbox here, Sean. That's exactly the way I see it. It is. I think I'm particularly lucky in that I have got some money from a government department, but I would love to see this sort of outreach work that goes beyond the classroom go into a broader government profile. But what's driving against it is that there's a worldwide control of the curriculum that's being controlled by bean counters that only consider short-term, very narrow assessment standards. So in education, we've got a lot of teachers at the moment around the world that are conned into teaching to the test. And so exercises like we're doing in 60 Second Science encourage people to go beyond teaching to the test to really engage the students with the real world. And yes, indeed, but I think this is all we've got at this stage. I would love to have the time and the energy to lobby governments more, but at the moment I'm just doing what I can with this, Sean, and I'm certainly not alone. We've got a lot of support for this site. We had over 900,000 page views last year, and that's only minuscule compared with the volume of traffic that's going on the internet, but it's certainly encouraging enough for us to keep going at this stage.
Okay, well, that's kind of leading me on to my next question, because I was wondering, were you really just getting views back from people who maybe have entered the competitions over the previous year? But I guess if you're getting 900,000 page views last year, that would seem to say that you are getting a lot of interest from the general public. What's your primary method of marketing or of advertising and bringing the public, or bringing the site to the public eye?
Well, I'm using social media, Sean. In fact, I caught up with you on Twitter, I believe, or perhaps it was Facebook. Using social media is certainly a significant part of it. In Australia, I use the science teacher organisations in each state. I print articles in their print magazines, and I have articles placed on their online newsletters and their e-newsletters. So in Australia, I've got a direct relationship with the science teachers from primary and our secondary schools. I've got our tertiary institutions involved, some pre-service education science teachers who are attending university, currently involved in creating 60-second science videos. So that's something for them to learn a broader range of pedagogies for the classroom. Beyond Australia, I'm using the skills and social media and contacts of our 10 judges. I've recruited 10 judges from around the world, from Canada, USA, UK, and Australia. So I've got a range of judges who are either scientists or science communicators like yourself, who promote the competition in their own spheres of influence. So we have got a wide reach, and we're hoping that we keep on generating that interest that keeps us going over the years.
So finally, Brendan, how often is the competition run, and when is the next closing date?
Okay, we started in 2007 or 8, Sean, I'm not sure. We're up to 2012 now. We began with a small competition in my region, which attracted 30 entries from about 8 or 9 of my schools here. We've got, in the region I work in, we've got 168 schools, so we got them involved initially, and then it became statewide and then Australia-wide. So we run it every year, and we give away $10,000 in prizes to citizens of every age. We've, on the website 60secondscience.net, we have 8 or 9, or might even be a dozen, categories or divisions that cater for international entries, local entries of both school age, and open entries for people of any age. We have prizes and divisions for best cinematography and best animation. We have, because we're keen to encourage entries from a wide range of languages, we have what's called the LOAT division, which is languages other than English, and we encourage entries from, we've had entries in Chinese, Malaysian, a range of Middle Eastern languages, and French, German. So we encourage languages from people submitting entries with various languages with subtitles in English, so that our main audience, which is English speaking, can understand what's going on. So that's part of it. And we also have a sort of joke division for anyone that puts in a Coca-Cola and Mentos entry, where you put the lolly inside the Coke bottle and it fizzes up. We get a lot of those entries, and we want to really encourage them to keep going, but we want them to go beyond superficial science and really get stuck into understanding the world. So the competition runs every year, and we're in our 5th or 6th year at the moment, and you have to register by the 1st of August, and entries have to be uploaded by the 26th of August. we have what's called here in Melbourne, Victoria, a thing called ICT Week, and that's in Federation Square in Melbourne. We have this huge screen, and what we do in ICT Week is we announce the winners, and we project a couple of the winning entries up on a big screen to a huge audience in Federation Square. So we're looking forward to that. So shortly, Sean, it's an annual event. Register by the 1st of August, upload by the 26th of August.
Okay. I'd like to thank you, Brendan, for taking the time to talk to Science Chat today.
Thank you very much, Sean, and I would encourage your audience, if not to go in it, but at least go and have a look. The winning entries are just stunning, and they can all be found at 60secondscience.net.
Well, that's it for this episode of Science Chat. You can find out more about 60 Second Science at www.60secondscience.net. And as usual, you can find out more about this and other Science Chat episodes at www.sciencechat.net/WordPress.